Josh, I prepared something. I did not even know I was doing this. Hit it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Psycho Mike, period. F*** Psycho Mike. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. F*** Psycho Mike.
Psycho Mike is a loser. Like, who put him on the air? Nobody thinks he's funny. He sucks. Big, fat, dodo. Yeah. Big, fat, dodo. Please die, Psycho Mike. I really, really hate you.
Why is he such a jerk to everybody?
Because he has a very, very small penis. I've seen it, actually, and it's like you don't even want to make fun of it, you know? It's just medically fascinating.
I kind of want to see it.
Yeah, it's like that one grape in the bunch that never got to be a grape.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Let's go grab some of that meat.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Well said.
Roll another one.
Vibrators.
Just like the other one.
I don't see or like where this is going.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Tell me about it.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
You think it's going well?
No.
What was that?
Roll another one.
Is she a slave woman?
Just like the other one.
When do we get our murder button?
This one seems to be about sense.
It'll be a good time.
I don't have another sense.
I love euphemisms. By euphemism, I mean when you say something and something else.
Dope. You guys keeping this party going?
Just pass it around.
It's not right. I don't like it.
I don't want that joint, my friend. Just pass it on down.
And now.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started. In here. Let's get it started. Get it started in here.
Our feature presentation.
Went through my cell phone yesterday to look for a new ringtone.
Uh-huh.
And it occurred to me that I had maybe 10 Weird Al songs on there.
Really?
And then all the other artists that I like, you know, Rage Against the Machine, other bands like that, fewer.
Right.
Weird was the winner.
Wow.
Which is odd. But
what's your new ringtone?
He's the best. I didn't pick one. No.
After all that?
No, I was going through the songs. I was like, wow. This is something. I got a lot of weird.
Didn't know I was such a fan.
Awesome. Yeah.
He's awesome. My ringtone, by the way, is still.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
That's good.
I just love hot Cheetos. I love you so much.
Makes me happy every time my phone rings.
I think I need that one of those K-Fed ones. You still have those?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The K-Fed ringtones?
Holla at your boy.
Holla at your boy.
That's quality right there.
Because he's the best.
Yes.
I may actually have one. Here we go.
Yo. This is Kevin Federline. What, do you got nothing better to do but to call this person? Maybe this person is busy. You trying to waste other people's time? Maybe they're a hard-working person. I don't know. But why are you calling? Don't make no sense to me. I think you should just holler at your damn self and go on about your day.
That sounds more like an answering machine message, doesn't it?
It's a ringback tone, yeah.
Wow.
That's what they hear when they're waiting, and that is really good. Oh, wait, no. It's not at all.
Designed for laughter.
He's quality.
Isn't there some process along the way where they say, let's do some ringback tones, and he goes, no one would want that from me.
Yeah, he doesn't have that filter.
He doesn't?
Yeah, but maybe they would be advised to write them for him.
Yes.
That's the key, right?
After hearing that.
I'm drawing blanks here. You know what? Maybe the person on the other line is smoking, kicked back. Not really wanting to pick up their phone, watch a TV with a beer and a bowl of potato chips. Maybe it's Sunday football. But if it's Monday through Saturday.
That's where his mom calls.
That's my annoying phone ring right there.
Yeah, he's got a terrible one himself.
At least he has the sense not to put himself on his phone.
All right, we are going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You can talk about any topic from sports to politics. We're very good with politics.
Sure.
Or weird stories in the news or anything else that you want to talk about.
I have a question I'd like to throw out that maybe one of our many K-Rock Kevin and Bean listeners would have an answer for. Why can the space shuttle, which is getting ready to come down, which has been up in space for 11 days doing Hubble telescope stuff, why can't they land when it's raining, first of all, when every other craft on the Earth can? And B, why do they say things like, well, if they miss the 8:39 window, they have to wait till the next day to land?
You don't have to answer those questions, but if
but
you,
I'd be curious to know the answers, though. Because,
right.
I mean, I understand you got to wait for the best, you know, the point where the Earth is underneath you at the best possible time to land in the state that you're trying to land in. But doesn't it just keep revolving around? You know, don't they see the Earth? They see California go by 20 times in a day or something, right? So why can't they try it again in a few minutes when it comes back around again? I have never understood why there's that tiny window in which they can land.
Maybe once they enter the Earth's atmosphere, it's not as maneuverable as like a plane. So they have to
right,
really
but they could that. They could start. I mean, if they know that 8:39 is not going to work, then why don't they do it? You know, the next time at 9:15 and enter the Earth's atmosphere then when it's more favorable. I mean, I don't understand how they can figure out when it is they're supposed to land and why there's so many restrictions.
Right. Don't call us with that info, but if you have it, email Bean
exactly.
at krock.com.
Exactly. Thank you.
Tell me you don't want to know the answer to that question.
Never really thought about it? Don't care.
Even why can't a space shuttle land in the rain?
Even
for
after
it can go into freaking outer space and it can't land through raindrops?
So what? You think that they should be able to land in rain and you're demanding that they try?
No, it's ridiculous. They're not being good.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm sure they have a reason why they can't. I just don't know what it is, and that's why I'm hoping somebody will tell me.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, you know what? Don't worry about it. Don't try to second-guess NASA.
Exactly.
I'm looking for guys
who know better than you why things have to happen the way they do, and they just do. Some things just need to be that way.
But what's wrong
those
with
are space
the
rules.
Reasons behind it?
They're the space
it.
Rules.
I understand that they're space rules, but why can't they land in the rain?
Hear my whole thing.
Why can't I fly when I flap my arms? Because it's just there's just laws of gravity. That's how things are.
Here's how I judge something, though, Bean, is that you ask the question, and it's a relatively interesting question. But then I judge my response on, like, if I got any answer to that question, would it make me any happier, any better, and then I go, nope, really don't care even if I found out.
I am a curious person.
Yes, you are. You can do that on your blog.
And I would love to know.
You Twitter
to those
that.
Questions. That's all.
Just Twitter.
I'm sure there's somebody out there who probably knows.
That's right.
And maybe they'll call and tell
but
me.
What we're all saying is we don't want them to waste all of our time because we don't care.
There's a very good reason why they can't land it in inclement weather. And that's good enough for me. Good enough. A reason? I got it. It's a reason. There's a reason.
You don't need to know.
I don't care. No one needs to know except the guy behind the wheel of the space shuttle and the guy with the headset at Cape Canaveral.
Well, let's see if anybody knows. Maybe somebody's calling.
Listen to us. We don't want to know.
I want to know.
If someone calls that information, I will press the murder button on them.
Yeah.
And I'm not. And that's NASA. NASA built that, too. They know what they're doing. I cannot use the murder button when it's raining, though. That's the only problem.
Oh, that's rough.
I can't tell you why.
Why?
That's national security. No, the need to know basis.
No murder button.
No, can't.
All right, let's talk about anything else at 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, this is very exciting. If you were thinking Kevin and Bean are going to have a lame prize today because they already gave away all the Six Flags Magic Mountain tickets for last night, now what? How about this? The return of the Snuggie, ladies and gentlemen. The return
Snuggie.
Of the Snuggie.
Just in time for summer.
Yep.
You get a Snuggie. So you won't get trapped on your couch. You know how it is when you get your arms trapped under a blanket and you can't move? Some people die there because they can't get up and they can't eat. They're paralyzed under a blanket. No, not you.
Weezer was rocking those, weren't they?
Yeah.
They sure were.
Awesome.
Came out on stage with those on. All right, let's see. Let's begin with anything except for NASA.
Okay. How dare you?
Let's
I want the answers.
Do Steven. You can find the answers, just not on our time. Hey, Steven.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What it do,
nephew?
What it do?
What's going on? Hey, I was able to catch Terminator last night.
Fantastic.
It was pretty good. I was blown away. I'm like, wow, that was really good. But guess what? The entire movie, Christian Bale, John Connor, is sporting the fingerless glove.
Oh, man.
I was like, no way. Freaking Dave.
Oh, freaking Dave.
Well, never hear the end of it.
Bring this back.
I don't accept that.
It's That's all you can tell him anything, because he'll just rip you a new one for 4 minutes.
Yeah, true. You don't want to say a word to him.
I don't accept that, because fingerless gloves, the way Dave wears them, are just a fashion statement.
Right.
That's like saying, Christian Bale wearing fingerless gloves is like saying MMA fighters are wearing fingerless gloves. No, those gloves have to be fingerless for function.
Right, that's
true. So it doesn't count. And Christian Bale's portraying a military fighter, and they wear fingerless gloves for a reason, too, so that their top tips of their fingers can be exposed to a trigger, yet the
okay, so that's acceptable. Dave, not acceptable.
Right. Yes. Right. I hear what you're saying.
All right. That's a good call. Right. That's a good answer. Thank you. All right. Let's go to Alberto. Hi, Alberto. What'd it do?
Hi, what'd it do?
What'd it do?
What's going on?
Hey, I was just listening earlier, and I heard you guys talking about the Hot Cheetos, and I really hate Hot Cheetos.
Okay.
Well, you're bad then. You're bad and you're wrong.
That might be so, but I know others. I know others that support me.
Nope, there are no others.
You're trying to start a movement against Hot Cheetos?
Hot Cheetos is the best food on earth.
Alberto,
you're wrong.
We had forgotten about Hot Cheetos and how good they were until those little kids. But then when we heard those little kids, it's two parts. One, Hot Cheetos rule. And two, those kids, there's never been happier children on the planet ever. And so it's kind of fun to hear. That bugs you?
Well, I mean, it doesn't bother me that other people like them. I just saying, don't offer me any.
Okay. All right.
Well, that's more for us then. All right. Fine with that.
Take it easy, Alberto.
I mean,
go out there and kick a puppy and spit at the sun while you're at it. All right, Alberto?
All right.
Go take a big, giant poop on the American flag while you're at it, okay?
It sounded like he was fine with that. All right. I'll do it. Whatever you say.
Well, he's wrong, right? Hey, let's talk to Dave on line three.
Nope.
Dave on line three. He
nope.
knows why the space shuttle can't land in the ring. Come on.
Where else do you want to go?
I'm happy for him.
Let's go to, how about line three and Dave?
All right. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Oh.
You know why the space shuttle can't land? Because the Lakers blow.
Three,
and Bynum can't get any rebound.
Everybody, how you rationalize what happened at Staples Center last night.
The Lakers won game one that they shouldn't have, and the Lakers lost game two that they shouldn't have. So,
yeah,
you know.
So all's right in the world, it's even.
We press the reset button and go to Denver and start all over again.
Yeah. But that's why the space shuttle can't land. That's the answer. Thank you for the call. All right. Let's talk.
I can understand why Dave feels that way, since the Clippers are just tearing up the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it rings a little hollow if your team's already out, but all right, that's okay. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday. It's the 22nd of May I See Them.
Can we please have one conversation that's not about my rack?
Not with these two.
No. Danielle Fischel is on the program today.
Yeah. Speaking of.
I feel those boobs.
Moon Bloodgood is on the show today.
Oh, come on.
She's in the Terminator Salvation.
Yep.
Where they have a use for fingerless gloves, we just found out.
And a use for booze.
We are going to talk to Stryker about the show that he is hosting, Charm School, on VH1.
Yes.
Those women are the cream of the crop. That's what I'm going to say right here.
Stryker has a tail!
Plus there's that.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? I mean, I haven't seen the Charm School yet. Do they have, is it like a lot of the shows where they have challenges that they have to try to win?
It's all the same. It's kind of challenges, but they're trying to make them better, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Human beings or whatever.
Trying to upgrade them. He needs to, like, when it gets down to the end, really find out who's in it to win it. He needs to make them, like, lick the tail or something.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be awesome? On VH1, can you imagine if Stryker said, all right, here it is.
I guess.
Turns around, there's his tail.
I'd be looking around at what else was on, I think.
I'd have to see that.
Comedian Bill Burr is in the studio with us today. He's got some shows at the Improv coming up, and Ralph's got the movie beat.
Great.
All on the way. So we'll take a quick break and come back with the showbiz beat next.
Can't stop the spirits when they need you. This life is more than just a read-through.
Hey!
I don't think that fits there.
That's not so good.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ at 5:53.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, Bad Religion on the way, also the Offspring, Sublime, Postal Service. Hey, Ralph Garman is here with our first look at the showbiz beat for a Friday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
I am sick and tired of the man coming down on the artist in America.
Okay.
Having spent many years as a performer myself until I got this job.
And then you got out of show business.
Right, we got out of show business. I still have a soft spot in my heart for the rights of artists to express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I am always disappointed in America and disgruntled with the powers that be when I see a story like I just read. Tim Martin, 36-year-old in Seattle has been arrested for indecent exposure.
What?
Because apparently he had tied a string to his penis and was putting on a puppet show in the public area of his apartment complex.
And they won't let him do that?
No. Apparently that's not acceptable to the man. Poor guy's just trying to, you know, tell a story with a string attached to his penis. And they come down on him and arrest him.
Wow.
That's outrageous.
Because the other people in his apartment complex didn't necessarily want to see him tugging on his wang.
But did they give it time? Did they see where the story went and if they learned a valuable lesson?
They didn't. Well, no, they didn't even wait for the end.
Come on.
It could have been a very explosive ending. No one knows. Officers.
A penis, when seen in the right context, is the most wonderful sight for a woman. But in the wrong context, it is like a monster movie.
That's
true.
Apparently that's what happened.
Yeah.
Officers arrived and confronted Tim, who denied the situation until they found a white string tied around his penis, as well as meth and porno mags in his apartment.
Wow.
So he was doing research for his performance, and still yet they come down on him.
Guy has it all.
I am going on a fast until Tim Martin is released. I am going on a hunger strike.
Okay.
He just picked the wrong venue. Save that kind of talent for, you know, America's Got Talent. Put that on TV. You're a star. That's it at your apartment complex. All of a sudden, you're some sort of pervert.
Let the Hoff judge you.
That's right.
That's what I say. Looks like Sean Penn and Robin Wright Penn have decided to make yet another go of their marriage.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They have asked the court to dismiss their legal separation case. In case you're keeping track at home, this is the second time Sean and Robin have rescinded divorce papers and had buyer's remorse when it came to ending their union, so it looks like they're going to give it all another go.
Hmm.
As soon as Sean can stop banging Natalie Portman, they're going to get right back to their marriage. So, be a good time. Have you seen the new photos of Britney Spears in Bahamas?
Yeah!
Apparently, being on the road does her a world of good. She's wearing a tiny little bikini, and apparently she was playing in the sand with her two boys. The vacation is a family affair. Her brother Brian, her dad Jamie are both there, and her rumored boyfriend-slash-agent Jason Trawick.
Boobs.
She heads to Europe for that leg of her tour on June the 3rd, so she'll be wested and wee-waxed by the time she does that.
I felt like she lost some of her boobs when she lost all that weight. She's one of those women who took a hit there.
You know what?
It's worth
Sometimes
it.
Sometimes you got to pay the price.
Yeah. Definitely worth it, yeah.
John and Kate Gosselin, my new favorite couple. You know, from this John and Kate Plus 8. Story keeps getting better.
Story never ends.
Apparently, they are planning on working on their marriage the old-fashioned way through counseling sessions on camera.
Oh,
of course.
Man.
Yeah, in the next season, we will see them going to couples counseling, and they will be filming the sessions while they try to patch up their struggling marriage.
You know, the more I think about your story from a few days ago, Ralph, the more I think you're on to something, that it's an arranged marriage at this point. They're staying together for the cash. Because
I think that's definitely Kate's motivation.
Yeah, you see her say things like, yeah, I mean, it's nice when he hugs me or says I love you, but I'd rather he emptied the dishwasher. I mean, that doesn't sound like it's a relationship.
She wants a butler. Which is,
she does.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Yeah. By the way, TLC is apparently sprucing them up for next season. They've given John hair plugs, and Kate had her teeth whitened as part of a makeover for next season. So at least they'll look good while they're splitting up. That's all that matters. Speaking of looking good, George Clooney in the news. Rumor has it he has a new girlfriend, a cocktail waitress he met at a bar in Miami.
Nice.
He likes cocktail waitresses.
He really does.
People that serve him alcohol, he's a fan of.
That's another reason why George and I are just missed best friends by that much. Because he loves bars almost as much as I do, I get the sense.
Yeah.
And he gets in there, and then there's a hot chick serving him alcohol, and he's like, well, how would you like to be my girlfriend? And she says yes, and then he goes has sex with her.
I'm only waiting for the time when my wife Jenny comes home from work on Hollywood and Vine serving cocktails, she's like, I got some bad news. George came in tonight.
And nodded, and the rest is
history. I had to do it. He's George Clooney.
I'm now his.
Her name is Lucy Wolvert, and apparently they've been dating for weeks. He would like to keep a secret according to this story, but she has been talking to all of her friends, naturally, who are spreading the news all over Miami, so good news.
Clooney, you smug bastard. Mm. Stop playing basketball and get married like the rest of us.
That's right. You and your success and your happiness. And NBC's I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here kicks off on June the 1st. You excited?
Nope.
Come on, it's celebrities in Costa Rica. Walking on wires and swatting bees and things.
Tidy and Spencer.
You said it was celebrities.
Yeah. I think we might need a class action lawsuit against the network of NBC to get them to rescind the title of that show.
Yeah.
I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. They've just added their latest contestant. Remember former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich was supposed to be on that show?
Yes. Right.
Mm-hmm. But then his parole officer wouldn't let him travel to Costa Rica for fear he'd be a flight risk.
Yeah. Right.
Well, they have recast that slot in the lineup for I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. They have signed up Patty Blagojevich, his wife.
What?
You're kidding. To step in and take his role as a celebrity on that program.
Really?
Really.
Really?
Really.
Really.
Really. She was the foul-mouthed broad. They've had all those tapes. Remember the feds wiretapped them? She was like, F those mother effers. They're going to pay what we want them to pay for those bitches. F them, mother effer. She's a delicate young flower.
Oh.
So she'll be joining the rest of the crew in Costa Rica for this show.
They must be proud. The show. Yes, we landed his wife.
Woo! Celebrities. That's not that you can't call yourself celebrity, right?
Nope. No.
It's so tangential. It's like I'm sort of an infamous slash criminal slash politician's wife.
They should call it tangential celebrity.
Tangential celebrities. And lastly, remember I told you last week they're making a movie out of Battleship?
Yes.
Right.
And I thought we'd hit the bottom.
Right.
They'd signed a deal to make a bunch of board game movies. Ouija Board, Candyland. I'm not kidding. Ouija Board the movie, Candyland, Monopoly, Battleship. Well, just announced, Michael Eisner, who used to run Walt Disney Studios for many years, is now an independent movie producer, just announced his company is doing a new movie called Bazooka Joe.
No.
Yes, based on the comic strip that comes with the piece of bubblegum when you buy Bazooka bubblegum.
No.
There's really no less funny writing on any paperwork anywhere than on that. It's never funny.
It makes Peanuts look like Neil Simon. It's not funny. It's about two panels long, and it's just a guy with an eye patch, another guy wears his crew neck sweater too high over his face. It's an odd bunch of characters. Apparently,
and there's a reason it was free.
Bazooka Joe, the movie, coming to theaters.
Nope. Hey, Ralph, I'll be made fun of again, but has there been an Archie and Betty and Veronica and Jughead movie? Has that happened yet?
There's been several TV projects, live-action TV projects with them, but I don't think he's ever done a feature film, no.
Well, how is Bazooka Joe getting greenlit before Archie? Come on.
I don't know how Archie and Betty and Veronica dropped to the bottom of the list under Bazooka Joe. Maybe they just couldn't wait. They just had so much, there's such a wealth of material there, they just could not wait to rush it onto the screen.
They were afraid of a competing project?
Yeah.
What a terrible idea.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Morrissey celebrates his 50th birthday.
Woo!
Well, celebrate may be too strong a word for Morrissey.
Sure.
He acknowledges his 50th birthday today. Johnny Gill.
Yeah.
Country Western singer, 43 years old today. Naomi Campbell.
No, Johnny Gill's the R&B singer.
Oh, who's the Gill?
He was one of the new. He was one of the new addition.
Who's
guys?
The Gill I'm thinking of? Who's an
Vince
R&B?
Gill.
Vince Gill. That's him.
Yeah.
They're related, aren't they, brothers?
Johnny and Vince?
I don't think so.
Naomi Campbell, former supermodel, is 39 years old today. And actress Jennifer Goodwin from Big Love, who I just think is just adorable. She is 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
How about the Kevin and Bean Afro Line? 24 hours a day, we have this standing by for any random thought that you may have, even in the middle of the night. 323-520-AFRO. What are people talking about?
Well, Ralph did a Ralph's rant about fashion.
And yes, he did.
Perhaps it rubbed this guy the wrong way.
Hey, you, Ralph. I wear the short socks. Rule.
All right.
I got to go with Ralph on the short socks. I don't get that look at all. I don't understand the short socks.
Yeah, doesn't bother me in the slightest. Didn't even think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, me either. All right. But that's all right. It happens, you know.
Sure.
Rumors swirl quickly on the internet.
Well, I don't know if you guys heard, but Patrick Swayze got killed by a hippo.
A lot of people didn't realize
that. He was trying to save a midget.
I'm just saying.
I know, right?
I'm just saying.
I know, right?
I'm just saying.
I know, right?
Perfect.
Nicely
We're
done.
You're doing a lot to contribute to the level of discourse in this country.
No one more than me as an English teacher.
Right.
As we found out. All right, listen.
Okay. Now, hold on a second. Just wait one goddamn little tiny second. Kevin was a substitute teacher? Are you serious? Really? Really?
Yeah, listen, substitutes don't do anything. You know that, right?
Right.
And And it was for a tiny amount of time before I got into radio. And I just used to sit up there and just listen to my iPod and just say, man, do whatever you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Well, wait, just 1 minute.
Yes, Kevin was an English teacher. You have that right.
That's right. And that girl that came up to us at Weenie Rose, I taught her the language. What do you think of that?
That's what she
said. I think I can't understand a word she says.
King of Mexico is the man of a thousand voices, and he has recently graced us with his Chewbacca.
Hey, I just heard that sound bit you guys keep doing of Dave, the King of Mexico, doing the impression of Chewbacca. It actually sounds like Corky from Life Goes On is doing the impression. La la dee, la la da, la 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 la.
Let's see. Here's a little Corky. I don't know.
Dave, the King of Mexico, a huge No Doubt fan. He's talking about going on the road with them this summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has a job. He really hasn't identified that. He's just like, I'm going to tour with them. They're going on the road with Paramore. So he was at Jimmy Kimmel, as you can imagine,
yeah,
when the band was there.
How dare Dave, the King of Mexico, call himself a No Doubt fan? That's not at Jimmy Kimmel. He was sitting on the K-Rock couch like a big couch potato, and Gwen told us to get up and tank, and he didn't even move.
Wow. Well, Dave was twittering about his experience at the concert instead of watching the concert. You know how Dave is.
Look, he saves his energy. Every once in a while, he'll just blow it out, and then he'll spend like 2 days resting again.
Yeah.
He needs his rest. Doesn't mean he's not into it.
Yeah, but I do really feel that unless he's texting or Twittering, it doesn't really seem like it's happening to him. Like, that's what he needs to make it feel real true to him. And I don't know how that works. But you see him in the pit at the rock, most rocking concert, he's texting.
Yeah, that's what he does. Yeah. Gwen is telling me to stand up. Should I? What do you think, Twitterverse?
Really? It's a small world. Really? God, you people need to be really grateful that my murder button is on back order.
Who knew there was a run on murder buttons?
Yeah.
They've been back ordered. The people love us.
Stop playing Sublime!
I think we have some coming up next.
He shoots, he scores! Big boobs, small brains, Miss Cleo has.
Oh.
Be glad you have boobs.
Aww.
Now, you could just have a small brain.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
It'd be a lot worse.
Could be worse. Yep.
We were talking about the couple that decided they needed to have sex in a porta potty at the concert. And a porta potty at 5 o'clock in the afternoon when it's hot seems like perhaps not the best place.
Not sexy.
To accomplish that.
Hey, guys, what's up? This is Joe calling from Sherman Oaks. One of the foul places I had sex was in a chicken coop at a friend's house. That's right. In a chicken coop. I was 17 at the time.
Chicken
that
coop.
Could not have been good.
Yeah, I don't think he's making a foul joke, but chicken coop seems like maybe even worse than porta potty.
Yeah,
maybe.
Chicken coops are nasty.
Yeah.
And reek.
Ugh.
We were talking about the Lakers series and the crowd that was chanting defense, and Bean did not understand that. Why are they chanting defense? Don't the guys out there know that they're supposed to play defense?
Come the heck on, Asperger boy. No defense. What are you going to yell? Oh, stop that guy. He has the ball. No. He passed to the other guy. Stop that guy. Come on, dude. Are you kidding me?
That would be at least as effective as chanting defense. Meaning hey, not
Bean,
at all.
My kids and I are getting ready for work and school, and we have a chant for you.
Oh, nice.
Defense!
What a nice family.
That's great that they have a common cause that they can all rally around.
Okay, so I have a friend who lives in a different state, and they told me that Chris Allen won American Idol. What is this? America is dumb, and Americans are just the dumbest people I know. If we won't vote for someone who deserves it because he's gay, are we not filled with homophobes and dumb conservatives? And and a British guy is running our American Idol. What is this? I want some dumb British guy with his nipples showing and his hair chest in my face running who's going to be my idol. I with you. I am boycotting the show. I only watched it for Adam. I already kind of boycotted it, and now I'm done with American Idol. I am done with this country. I am done with everything. Everything. I'm done. This is the dumbest. Chris Allen, are you joking? Are you freaking kidding me? Chris freaking Allen? No! No!
I'd like to suggest that perhaps that topic doesn't require that much passion.
Because they'll both be fine.
That's it? That's what you're getting upset about?
I just love, now that the show's over, I'm not going to watch it anymore. Well, that's my favorite part.
And I'm serious until next year. Yeah, that's great. 323-520-AFRO. We have Moon Bloodgood from Terminator Salvation coming up next.
It's Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday morning. I'm just... I want to take it slow. I want to pause. I want to soak it in. I want to enjoy it.
All right, but don't be creepy.
I'm not going to be creepy at all. This is a big deal. Mm. This is something we've been wanting to happen for a long time, and today's the day this happened. I just want to say, let's enjoy it. Let's recognize that this is a phenomenal moment,
okay,
and it may never be repeated, and let's enjoy it.
I'd like to say you recognize it's a good moment, and don't ruin it for the rest of us.
I'm not going
to
be creepy. You can tell already.
It's not going to be creepy at all. I admire Miss Bloodgood very much. I'm very excited about seeing her in Terminator Salvation this week. That's all I'm saying. I'm excited to talk to her about her and about the movie. That's the point I'm saying. Hey, Moon.
You guys hear me? I was like, are they talking about me? I was.
Yeah. Well, we're just trying to admonish Bean to just back off and let us all have a normal conversation.
It's going to be fine. I mean, hey, what are you wearing? What are you wearing right now, Moon?
Yeah.
What?
Hey, here it goes. Listen,
I'm fine with the, I'll tell you what I'm wearing. I'm wearing shorts and a loose blouse.
All right.
That is fantastic. Okay. That's a great start. All right. We want to talk about the Terminator, but I guess I didn't realize you're a local girl. You grew up in Orange County, right?
Yeah. And I got to say, I grew up with you guys, and I'm a little, I don't get nervous on these interviews, but I was like, Kevin and Bean, I kind of geeked out.
Let's not get crazy. And we also see, and I guess I didn't realize that you used to work for the Lakers?
Yeah, I was actually a dancer for many years. And funny enough, that was just the Offspring that was on, right?
You were a dancer with the Offspring?
I did. I did a bunch of their videos. And, back in the day.
No,
very, very back in the day.
Do you still follow basketball? You still watching the Lakers?
I watched them a little bit last night. I go to a Laker game occasionally.
Wait a minute. There was a game last night? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. I don't know if you heard, but I love the Lakers, and I'm a big fan of Kobe, but I probably don't follow it as much as I should, so I don't feel like I'm a hardcore fan, but I always love going to a Laker game.
There are a lot of Laker fans right now who are, I mean, it's amazing. They're so good, yet people are still so nervous. They lose one game, and people are like, I don't know, man. I don't know, because anything less than a sweep gives the other team the opportunity to win it, and people are very nervous right now because they so desperately want the finals this year.
Yeah, I know, and I'm like, I've just watched, when I was a Laker girl, they were just so dang bad, like, it was embarrassing, and watching them just be such a big team and then kind of come back, and I just love Kobe, and I think he's one of the best players in the game.
So you may have mistimed your Laker girl years.
Is what
you may have mistimed your Laker girl years for the wrong team.
I'm always that girl, like you know. I finally, this sounds really shallow, but I get on the cover of Maxim, but it's like covered by a bag. You know what I mean?
They put a bag over your head.
All my moments, like I just, you know, it's just like a little ego thing. I'm like, I'm covered by a bag.
Yeah, well, no one wants that.
Hey,
Laker girl, and they suck. Like.
Last night at Six Flags Magic Mountain, local Southern California theme park, they opened up the Terminator Salvation ride, and I guess they've got some videos that they kind of tell a story as you're getting on, you know, standing in line and getting on the ride and stuff like that. And you recorded a bunch of stuff for that, right?
Yeah, I did. Actually, me and Common, and we were supposed to do it together, but our schedules just were a little off. So Common and I, dude, I haven't seen it. I know it just opened when the movie came out. But we have a whole bit, and, you know, I sort of, he's in command center, and I'm kind of on the field because I play a pilot. And there's all kinds of stuff going on, and you see us kind of interacting with each other. And, you know,
Terminator. It's apparently an amazing ride. It's a wooden roller coaster. It's almost 3,000 feet, and apparently it's just got just a million turns. It's supposed to be cool. I'm sure at some point you'll get up there. That's the weird thing. I mean, you've been an actress for a number of years, but once you start getting into movies like Terminator Salvation, all of a sudden it's so much bigger, and you find yourself doing videos for theme parks. That just doesn't happen with a lot of movies.
It's not like I haven't figure, and I did a video game, and I just, it's surreal, because you don't know. You get in for this movie, and, you know, okay, Christian Bale, and McKee, and Anton, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, you have an action figure, you're doing a video game, and I geeked out again. And you're going to be on the ride of Magic Mountain, because I grew up going there, so.
Yeah, that's got to all be weird.
It's so weird. I still freak out. I can't even imagine that there's going to be a video game and I'm going to hear my voice.
All right, yeah. Tell us about
so nerdy, I love it.
Tell us about your character in Terminator Salvation.
Sure. I play an A-10 fighter pilot, and I'm part of the Resistance, and John Connor's my superior. And there's this character, Mark Bright, played by this Australian actor, Sam Worthington. And I bring him to the Resistance, having no idea that, you know, he's not what we think he is.
Yeah.
I don't know what's been revealed in the trailer, but he's, you know, not perfect. Like, he's not a human being. Not completely.
Right. Is that some of the toughest acting you ever have to do to effectively play a fighter pilot? I mean, it seems like that would be something that was so foreign to you that you'd really have to learn it.
Well, it's interesting because it's the second time I've played a pilot, and I love when I do press, and they're like, are you an actual pilot? And it's like, no, I'm just sort of acting like
yeah,
a pilot.
It's a movie pilot. You don't have to really do that much research to be a movie pilot, right?
No, because, you know, at the end of the day, I actually met with a lot of A-10 pilots, and I try to be as realistic as possible, but it's still movie-making, so
right.
I'm sure if you talk to a real pilot, they'd be like, that was so not what we do.
Now, I have a clip. This is when you're talking to Christian Bale's character, John Connor, about the dude you think saved your life and what's going to happen to him.
Was there a teenage boy?
I honestly don't know. They were taken into a transport. He was the only one left.
Not he. Claire. It. It was the only one left. Don't be naive.
It saved my life.
Hey, what's going to happen to him?
Disassembled.
You mean killed?
It may have information on Skynet.
I know he's not the enemy. I've been shot at by the enemy. That's not him.
That machine saved you only to gain access to kill all of us.
Look at that.
Dude, wow.
Look at the damage you're doing, Moon.
Dude, like, you know what? I don't effing care. He's hot, and I'm saving that piece of ass.
They should have let you write the dialogue.
Our civilization is coming down to a hot chick saving a hot dude's ass. That's what's happening in this.
That's right. Hey, we had this is actress Moon Bloodgood on the phone. That's on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about Terminator Salvation, which is in theaters everywhere right now, and you ought to include it in your Memorial Day weekend plans. We had your friend, the director of the movie, McGee, on yesterday, and he was talking about how phenomenal some of these things that you guys blew up were. Were you ever involved in any of the scenes that involved a lot of the explosions?
I was always a part of it. I think it was like day one we started shooting, and I pretty much did all my stunts, and all those explosions went off with me and Sam, and there was very little green screen, and I was definitely a part of it. And that was actually some of the funnest things I got to do.
That would be so much fun to sit there and just go every day to huge explosions.
Yeah.
That's a dream of mine.
It is fun. It is fun. And you get that adrenaline rush. But that part of it, you need a little bit of that fear. And granted, things are blowing up and it's cork, but still.
Yeah, but still.
But still.
Cork can get in your eye.
That's right. It can hurt you.
I have to imagine there's so much pressure, too, because they set all those things up to blow up on cue, and everything has to go right. You know, cameras, audio, your acting, all the explosions have to go off in the right order. And sometimes if it misfires, I mean, imagine how much work it is. You guys have to reset all of that and try blowing it up again. I mean, it must be a lot of pressure.
It is, and you can't really mess up your lines because time is money. And, you know, I think one time I messed up my lines, and I felt so bad because it takes another, you know, 30 minutes to set up everything. So you have to really be on it, make sure your stunts are right, you're getting, you know, gone in the right angle. So it's a lot to think about. I mean, it's not brain surgery, but
Does McGee yell, Moonbloodgood screwed it up. Everybody back. Reset.
I know. Moonbloodgood doesn't know her lines.
I wouldn't be worried about McGee yelling at me on that set, by the way.
You know what? He never yelled at me. Like, he's funny. I don't know what he was like on your show, but he's very witty and he's full of energy, and he never yelled at me. Like, we actually were always saying, like, you know, very sarcastic, you know, things to each other, and he was always so cool. He's really got a lot of spirit, and he doesn't really yell at people.
No. I know. I mean, obviously people think of the, you know, the famous rant on the set, but we've had Christian Bale on a couple of times, and he's awesome. And he's, you know, we told McGee this yesterday. I mean, he kind of added legitimacy to bringing Terminator back because he's such a great actor. You know, he doesn't sign up to do crap, you know, so the movie's got to be good.
No, and I got to tell you, I was in my trailer, and I've never listened to the tape. And I can make fun of myself, and I can make fun of the movie, but I just had such respect for Christian that I felt so bad about that situation because I think he's really misunderstood. He's one of the best actors of our generation, and he really takes his role seriously. And I think he was just, asking for someone to respect his craft.
I will tell you this. I have a friend who was on the set who said, "You can't." And I know you can't comment on this, Moon, but you can't possibly imagine how much that guy deserved that yelling. You can't possibly imagine how bad he, blah, 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 blah. But I got to tell you, if you've never listened to it, Moon, that is really entertaining. I mean,
Right, I'm not a, I don't know why I've not listened to it. I just can't.
Listen, we love Christian Bale, and yet that was awesome.
Yep.
And we said, Christian, and then Christian called us and he apologized to people. We said, we don't have to stop playing it, do we? And he said, no, go ahead.
So, yeah, because he's got, the thing is, you guys, he's funny. He's just he's very dry, and he's just a really good guy and was nothing but courteous to me. So, yeah, he gets intense. I'm intense.
The next time we talk to you, I want you to have listened to it in its...
I'm not going to. Let me tell you, I'm stubborn. I am not listening
to the rant. Do it!
All right.
I
know that we're out of time. Moon, I'm glad we finally got a chance to have you on the show. We've been fans of yours for a long time, and we appreciate the fact that you've been listening to us, and let's do it again, all right?
Thanks, guys. I'm really happy you had me on the show, too.
Terminator
Salvation. Have a great weekend.
This whole weekend, it's a long weekend, hopefully a Monday off as we do. It's the Y2K Rock. All Memorial Day weekend, we are counting down the biggest songs of this century.
Wow, the whole century?
All 9 years.
How will we have time to fit in that?
It's very early in the century.
We're going all the way back to 2000?
That's happening.
Nobody alive today has ever heard any of those songs.
I don't think they even had recording material back then, did they? Is there a way to capture the music of the year 2000?
It is the world famous K-Rock, and it's 657.
Ralph Garman, have you looked through the glass in the other room? Have you seen who's there waiting to come in after your showbiz beat?
I didn't have to. I walked her in from the parking lot.
Oh,
I met her at the gate.
What, you were waiting out
the
there?
The lovely Miss Danielle Fishel.
Yeah, I'm going to go smoke. I'll be out waiting for her.
And there she was. And she is as charming as she is lovely.
Was it love at first sight?
She came in all dolled up, and I was like, this is radio. You don't really dress up for us. But it turns out she's filming The Dish today.
Ah.
So she's going to work after this. So, but she looks spectacular.
All right. Danielle joins us in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, what's going on in Hollywood?
Speaking of music, as you guys were just moments ago, Creed has announced not only is the band getting back together, because they're going on their reunion tour in August, but Scott Stapp has announced they're going to have a new album.
Nope.
That they're going to start going into pre-production on just after this weekend, just after Memorial Day. And then the CD will be out in late July. It'll take about 5 weeks for them to put their new album together, they say. Their next album will take even longer, they say.
Wow.
Yeah, they're putting out together in 5 weeks to have one out in time for their tour. So it's going to be good.
No, listen.
The best music is done in a month or so. That's always been the way.
Creed?
This should not happen in America.
Yeah, it's true. So not only is it Creed, but they're going to rush it.
Wait, Rush is there too?
Excellent.
Oh, Gilligan. The Ramones bassist Dee Dee Ramone was married to a woman named Vera King for many years, and she saw the ins and outs of the madness that was the Ramones. She wrote a book about it. Called Poisoned Heart, I Married Dee Dee Ramone, and there was an injunction against this book by his estate. However, the Supreme Court of New York yesterday denied that injunction, and so the book will be coming out on June the 2nd. So if you're a Ramones fan, you want to hear all the ins and outs of the madness that was the Ramones' life, then you can pick up that book and check it out.
Yay!
Pink was not so pleased that the cast of American Idol did a super cheesy version of her hit So What on Wednesday night's finale.
Yeah.
She wasn't too impressed by their performance.
They don't have to get her permission ahead of time or anything like that?
I think you only need to get the publishing's permission. I don't think you need the artist's permission to do it. I don't know if she wrote it or not, but you know that song So What, I'm a Rock Star, you know that?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. She Twittered after the show. And people who are following her got the following message. Someone butchered my song last night on TV. Does that mean I've made it? Yes, it does, Pink. Yes, it does. When someone ruins your song, that means that you're officially a star.
It also means you're watching the wrong TV show.
Yes. I noticed she heard that they sang it. She didn't see it. as I did not see it.
Correct.
I'm off. My name is Earl. The battle continues. I told you yesterday that Ethan Suplee, star of that show, plays Randy, has asked fans to go to Fox to beg them to pick up the show because he does not want to see it go away. And I can understand why. Because he wants to keep his job.
Sure, sure.
However, it looks like, according to the LA Times, that TBS is interested in picking up the series.
Hmm.
TBS is quickly becoming a stronghold of original comedy programming. They've got a show called The Boys over there, another show called 10 Items or Less, which I highly recommend, by the way, especially three episodes of it.
That you were in?
Oh, that's right. I was on that show. I completely forgot, Kevin.
Right, yeah.
Thank you for reminding me. You can see it on YouTube. We like the show very much, says the president of Turner Entertainment Networks. It's definitely worth a look. So now they have joined the race along with Fox and ABC as networks that are interested in picking up the show. So maybe for My Name is Earl fans, it's not over yet.
How did this not happen earlier in television? I mean, for the last 30 years, if a TV show gets canceled,
it's gone.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden, it's a bidding war like it's sports.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Players are getting traded. I hope, look, I like My Name is Earl. I liked it a lot when it first came on. I haven't liked it as much lately. It's kind of become a little repetitive because of the conceit of the show is this guy's got a list and he's got to knock these things off. So I'm hoping maybe this will give them a creative boost as well. If they pick up a new network, maybe they'll go in another direction. We'll have to wait and see. Although I think Jamie Presley is one of the funniest women on television.
In that role especially.
She does a great job on that show. Selena Gomez and Taylor Lautner are getting closer and closer. Us Weekly magazines say that the star of Wizards of Waverly Place and the guy from Twilight have been seeing each other nonstop since filming together in the Twilight sequel in Vancouver. And apparently there are photos of them canoodling throughout Vancouver.
Nobody uses that word, Ralph.
I use it, and it's a swell word. I think it's groovy.
Wow.
That's how I feel about canoodling.
All right. Is it righteous?
It's righteous.
Okay.
And Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Is not doing so well.
Uh-oh.
According to friends, she got into another huge fight with her ex-girlfriend Samantha Ronson the other night.
What?
Why are they even hanging out anymore?
I thought they were done.
Well, they were done, but then they got back together again.
Well, they need to stop that.
Apparently, it was just some sort of booty call action or something. They were seen together, partying a couple times, and then she was seen leaving Samantha's house doing the walk of shame a couple times.
Nice.
Apparently there was another huge fight the other night, and then Lindsay showed up outside Samantha's house, loaded, according to friends. She wasn't home at the time, though, so Lindsay just waited outside her house till 2:30 in the morning.
Oh, that's sad.
Wow. I thought Sam was the man in that relationship, but apparently Lindsay is the one who's acting like the drunk, scorned boyfriend.
Wow.
Samantha! Samantha, are you in there?
Yeah, I am.
I love you! I'm sorry, Samantha!
I don't know why, but to me, that's the type of thing that most people grow out of by the time they're like 20. It's just weird to think about her sitting out in front of the house, waiting for her to come home.
I don't know that she's ever gotten past that point.
Maybe.
I think sometimes the...
sometimes love hurts?
Well, sure.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes stars live in sort of a rarefied atmosphere where they don't get a chance to grow up on the same schedule as the rest of us do because they don't have the hard lumps that kind of teach them the lessons that we all have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of hard lumps.
What?
Yes.
What?
Today's celebrity birthdays. I was going to make a testicular joke there, but I'm moving on. Celebrity birthdays. Singer Marcy is 50 years old today.
That's the one that Ralph is most afraid of missing because...
Oh, trust me. I started getting emails about... Well, I guess it was February this year. I started getting emails from Marcy fans saying, don't forget. Don't forget Marcy's birthday. So we're mentioning his birthday. Dan Roberts of Crash Test Dummies celebrates his 42nd birthday today. Really? You're applauding the Crash Test
Dummies? I
was doing
that.
I was doing that ironically.
I love
and
the
you're
dummies.
Applauding.
I loved his solo work. I think he's a great artist.
That was a song.
He was good on that
Those were the lyrics to that song.
Naomi Campbell, the model, is 39 years old today. And actress Jennifer Goodwin from Big Love. She is 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let me take you back a couple of weeks. I think it was Cinco de Mayo, Ralph, when you announced in your celebrity birthdays at the end of the your broadcast that Danielle Fishel had a birthday that day. And we all got all warm and mushy and fuzzy and just thinking about how much we loved her.
Maybe you got mushy. I had the exact opposite reaction.
And so one of us in the room says, what's Danielle up to these days? And Ralph, you told us you've been seeing her lately on the TV,
yeah,
right?
I watch her every week on the Style Network. I watch her do The Dish, which I found accidentally because my wife is hooked on the Style Network. which is mostly fashion and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But Danielle does a very funny show on there, which is very much like our buddy Joel McHale's The Soup over on E!, where she does reviews of pop culture and celebrities and fashion and that kind of stuff. And she's hilarious on the show.
So we said, hey, if she's doing that, maybe she'll come on the Little Kevin and Bean Show. And ladies and gentlemen, here she is.
Here she is. When it was Talk Soup, and right. you know, Greg Kinnear hosted and whatever, and huge Joel McHale fan. So when the Style Network had, you know, asked me to audition for something that was going to be a little bit more female centric, I was like, if I don't get this job, I'm just retiring. I'm just quitting. That's it, because I'm supposed to do this.
That's a good attitude to have in showbiz.
Yeah, it's great. Just
if you don't
quit
get this
all the
job,
time.
You're out.
Yeah, exactly.
That is kind of the best way to describe it. It is like The Soup, but with a sort of a female spin on it.
Yeah, it's a little bit more. You know, we always look for when we're trying to when we really want to lampoon something, we have to be like, okay, well, how can we justify this? What's the style spin? Yeah. Like, how can we turn this into something that we can tell our producers we need to talk about because it has a style
spin. I have a clip that I think is from The Dish, and it's and I think it'll help people understand exactly what you do.
Perez Hilton gave everyone the heads up that Heidi and Spencer from The Hills had eloped. Spencer told Heidi that being with her has made him a better person. Oh my God, he could be worse.
So you see.
And he couldn't, because we just talked to him, and we found out he can't be worse.
He can't be worse.
No, I completely agree with you. There's no possibility for that.
Yeah.
Now, are you allowed to really go for celebrities, or is it one of those networks, the Style Network, where they say, eh, kid gloves, you can't be mean?
No, you know, they're okay with us going after somebody as long as it's somebody we feel like set themselves up. You're asking for it. Our goal is not really to go after somebody doing good in the world and tear them down. But Spencer and Heidi, I would, you know, I have no problem. The Style Network doesn't mind me throwing them down a flight of stairs.
They really are begging for
it. Begging
totally.
For it, yeah.
They, you know, I mean, somewhere they're laughing maniacally, and that's, you know, aggravating in itself.
Are you allowed to make fun of shows that are on the Style Network? Like, can you make fun of Kimora Lee?
We do a little bit, although that they are a little bit more sensitive about. Yeah. You know, we like to talk about, you know, Niecy Nash and her flower, and we talk about, you know, Clean House, because that's the show that is the best thing for the Style Network. If you like cleaning houses, you should watch the Style Network.
Sounds like a deadly dull show. Yeah. I've never heard of that.
It's a takeover show of houses that need cleaning, and
wow.
you would be surprised that it is a popular show.
They clean the crap out of those houses.
They have yard sales and
stuff's not organized, and then when it's over, it is organized.
Wow.
And it
crazy.
Takes a team of people.
Yes. I'm going to have to watch. Oh, wait, no.
So, Danielle, you're probably best known from the Boy Meets World show that you ran for many, many years back in the 90s, and you went on and continue to do other TV shows and movies and stuff like that. Did you ever, is it a surprise to you that you have ended up being a television host of a show?
I would actually say no, not really. From the time I was really young, I was always told I should go into broadcast news. Like, I should be a news broadcaster just because, I don't know, my own personality is very together. And so I'm not really the crazy actress type. I don't really fit into Hollywood. I don't have any actress friends or actor friends. I don't date actors. I don't. So, the fact
what's
that I get
with
to,
you?
I don't know. I have a very
normal
life.
She's adjusted.
So I think the fact that I ended up kind of removing myself from that and having a job that's more me and my personality is not too surprising to me.
Are a lot of people surprised that Hollywood types, like, that you live in Orange County? Does it seem weird to them that you don't want to be in the thick of things?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the first time I ever met Joel, McHale, his car was in the shop or something, and he was like, do you happen to live, you know, near the Hollywood Hills? And I was like, no, I live in Orange County. And he stopped and looked at me, and he goes, why? and that's usually the reaction I get. It's usually a polite, like, look, and then it's just I'm sorry, why? What are you doing?
It's not exactly convenient in the entertainment business up here and to live in Orange County.
True. I had to make the decision, though. My family, that's where I'm originally from, and my whole family's down there. And so for me, the issue is, do I want to drive 45 minutes to an hour every day for my job, or do I want to have to drive 45 minutes or an hour to my family? And I would choose to put the effort in to get to work and know that my mom's 2 miles away. That's just what my priorities are.
Well, you like your family. You don't date actors. You're not on drugs. What's wrong with you? You're in the wrong business.
I guess so. Yeah, that's why I'm in school.
We need to take a break, but we're going to find some dirt. There's some dirt there somewhere.
There's got to be some crack. Right?
There's no way anybody's that perfect. So, Danielle Fishel is here, and we will come right back.
Actress and television talk show host Danielle Fishel is in the studio with us right now. The show is called The Dish, by the way. Saturday. It's coming back for a new season. On Saturday, May 23rd?
Yes, no, this Saturday.
That's a Saturday.
This Saturday is the start of a new season. Okay.
Yes.
And that is on the Style Network, and you ought to check it out. By the way, we've all been chatting up Danielle during the songs, and we're falling very deeply in love. I don't know that we're going to let her leave the studio.
Nope.
By all accounts, she is the perfect woman. And a sports fan on top of everything else that we love about you. What's up with that?
Well, I grew up, you know, playing a lot of sports with my dad, not playing sports in school because I had a job, so I wasn't able to do that.
How old were you when you did Boy Meets World?
From 12 to 19.
12 to 19. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big chunk of your life.
Huge chunk of my life.
But isn't that supposed to destroy you as a person? Actors and actresses from the years 12 to 19.
And child actors especially.
They go right to drugs and
where's your rehab stint?
No rehab stint. I mean, that's not to say that I'm perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I've certainly made big mistakes like a lot of people do, and I had my time when I was, you know, 18.
But rehab is still in the future for you.
Rehab is a long way in the future.
Something you aspire to.
There's so many other things I want to accomplish before I take on that one.
Right.
I'm not a quitter, so...
Right, exactly.
So you couldn't play organized sports in school, so you and your dad would play.
Yeah, so, you know, we would play tennis, and he'd take me out. I always said if I were a man, I would really want to be a football player. I actually... Even not being a man, would like to be a football player. I'd like to play for, like, you know, the Professional Women's League or something.
A lot of football players would like you to be a football player as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Turns out.
No.
Now, let's talk Lakers.
Yes.
Big fan.
Huge. Die hard. I have Laker toenail polish on right now.
Yes, you
purple
do.
And gold.
That's true.
Nicely
Mike
done.
Says you go to a lot of games too, Danielle.
I do. I go to a lot of games. I'm really fortunate that way. So it's one of my favorite things to do. As a matter of fact, last night I filmed a spot on The Soup, and I was supposed to go to the Laker game, and they asked me to do The Soup, and I was like, work responsibility, Laker game, work. I'll go responsible, but it was really hard.
What?
I have to be honest.
What?
It was really hard.
So it was your fault they lost because you weren't there, I'm guessing.
True.
I see.
You were supposed to be at the Laker game and didn't go.
You're right.
That's on you.
I actually do want to take responsibility. That's why I'm here.
Wow.
This is an intervention, and I take responsibility.
Wow. I everyone else was doing their part, but apparently not you.
Not
apparently.
Me. I couldn't do it.
Why do you think, as a fan, why are the Lakers so maddeningly inconsistent?
I don't know. I'll tell you. Well... I have some theories. One, I love Phil Jackson. I think he's amazing. And I like that he likes to keep the lineup the same. He likes to keep the starting five the same. He likes to keep that, you know, that safety net there.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you need to decide that you need to start Jordan Farmar instead of Derek Fisher because he's the only person who can keep up with Aaron Brooks when you're playing against Houston in the playoffs.
Right. Sometimes, not that specific situation,
but right. There may be times when that, in my opinion, would have been the way to go. Or, you know, like last night against Denver, leaving that last shot to Derek Fisher, who's amazing, but has been way cold for a while. Yeah. So maybe not the best, even though they probably would have fouled Kobe and we would have only had two and we wouldn't. I just think that sometimes there are things that need to be done a little differently. And my other idea about it is that I think sometimes some of our European players play a little bit more finesse than...
They're soft.
They're a little finesse player as opposed to a slam at home kind of player.
Yeah. And are we still talking about basketball?
Just checking.
But don't you kind of give... Look, it's easy to second guess when you see the results of how a play turns out. It's easy to second guess the coach.
Of course.
I just look at the success that Phil Jackson has and I go... He knows what he's doing. He knows these players better than I do or better than any other fan does. And you got to kind of respect him for.
I agree. That's why I said when I, you know, started that, I really think he's possibly the best coach of all time. And I do respect those decisions. I know he has his reasons. But, you know, when you are watching from work or from home and you're able to say, why did we do that? Suddenly you're a Laker player and you're on the team.
Sure.
It's really easy to have all the great ideas. The people chanting, no, that guy, no, that other guy, no, go get that guy instead of defense.
Yeah, that would be stupid, right?
That would be stupid.
That wouldn't even make sense.
No.
You wouldn't even understand a person who would say that.
No, that'd be really crazy.
And only an idiot would suggest that.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
An idiot, right?
I mean, why do you yell anything? Like, how many people yell when they're at home to, like, get it? And then what did that do?
Nothing, I do.
But you still do it.
When I watch TV, all the time.
When I watch football, my wife makes me close all the doors and windows because she's afraid what the neighbors are thinking.
Oh, they're going to think you're hurting me. No, they won't.
Leave the room.
Your name's not McNabb.
Are you an Eagles fan?
I am, yes.
Oh,
die hard.
Brutal.
Born and raised in Philadelphia.
Golly. Yeah. All right. Well.
What? What was that
tone? I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Oh!
Perfection.
There it is.
Tell your story walking, lady. Wow.
How did that happen?
Well, we were on the top of the mountain. We just hit the bottom.
I know.
What
we felt
happened?
So good about you. She just likes, ruined it.
She likes sports.
This is like the crying game. She took off her dress, and then I'm staring at that. She's a Dallas fan.
I'm sorry.
You might want to keep that to yourself a little more.
Well,
How did you become a Cowboys fan?
Well, L.A., obviously, when we lost the Rams and we lost the Raiders. And, this was when I was really young.
Right.
My dad, who was the one I learned all my sports from, decided, I'm mad. I'm not going to be a Rams fan, even though, you know, whatever. I'm going to be, the Cowboys were doing well at the time, I'm going to be the America's Team fan.
Oh, I see.
And then once, through the 90s, once the Rams started playing better, my dad was like, I'm not really so mad at them anymore. I am really, truly a Rams fan at heart.
Super Bowl will take that sting right out.
And I could never abandon them. I felt like that. I can't leave my Cowboys just because now all of a sudden you're not mad at the Rams. So I stuck with being a Cowboys fan.
But I'm sorry to hear that.
Even though God has turned on the Cowboys and is trying to kill all their coaches.
Yep.
Right.
You're right.
You're still with them, even though Jessica Simpson has infiltrated the locker room, you're still with them?
You know.
I mean, what is it going to take?
I don't know. We've lost T.O. That may, you know.
It'll actually be a positive.
That would be a positive thing. I don't know. I mean, I'm actually a T.O. fan. I tend to like jerky athletes for some reason. Like, I was a Dennis Rodman fan, too. You know, like, I like that kind of attitude.
Parkinson's feel?
Yeah, that kind of, you don't know what you're going to get from moment to moment. Oh, gosh.
Would you like to
Yes, I would.
All right, well, listen, we're out of time, but we're very deeply in love with,
suddenly, we're out of time.
Look at the clock, it's speeding by.
Go Lakers.
Oh, it's too bad. Don't try to get back in our good graces by saying go Lakers.
The Style Network is not a channel I ever thought I would make plans to tune into, but I think I will. Saturday night at 10, it's the return of The Dish with our new friend Danielle Fishel. I hope you'll come back and see us again sometime.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Kevin, your friend Dick Cheney, back in the news.
Yeah, he seems to
have been. I know you love Dick.
I don't much know. He seems to be speaking out now more than ever before.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's a motor mouth now.
Yes.
It's crazy.
They might as well give him his own show. Because every single day he's on the TV talking about something. Yesterday was no exception. Let's say good morning to the Vice President, shall we?
All right, Mr. Vice President. How's it going?
That was smooth.
Thank you.
Nice work.
We haven't lost a step, have we?
No, it was great.
Well, Mr. Cheney, I guess the first question we have to ask you is, why is President Bush doing the smart thing, which is being retired, and you're on television every single day talking about how President Obama is making the country less safe?
So?
Well, I don't think that was a... Why are you not being less vocal?
Because I believe in this country.
Right.
And I believe you have to stand up for what's right. And I think there's a legacy of what George Bush and I did together that needs to be protected. So I'm bringing my case to the people.
Right. But as a guy who's been in public office for 50 years, don't you just want to take a break and just stop fighting with everybody and just enjoy your remaining years?
Maybe not.
Nope. I'd like to do is shoot some people in the face.
Those are your retirement plans?
Yes, I have a list of people, and I plan to just to keep shooting them in the face until I get through this list. I'm like my name is Earl, only with a shotgun.
Who is that?
I'm just testing it out.
All right.
Okay. Is there anything? Is there one positive thing you can say about Friday morning, Kevin and Bean Show. Time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Hey, boys and girls, because we're short on time, we're doing Movie Beat here instead of Showbiz Beat. So let's take a look at some of the movies that are opening up in Southland Cineplexes this week. And there's a lot to choose from. And then there's Dance Flick.
Yeah. The hands down winner?
Come on, really? With Dance Flick?
No.
Here's the thing. This is another in the long lines of parody films like Scary Movie and Epic Movie and Superhero Movie. This is Dance Flick, which, as you can imagine, makes fun of all those movies like Step Up to the Streets and Hit Me One More Time, Baby, and Let's Dance, Daddy-O, and all those other
movies.
I
remember Let's Dance, Daddy-O.
That was a good one. which are so laughable and so bad. How do you parody those? How do you make fun of something that's already a joke?
You be the Wayans brothers.
Here's the thing. Speaking of the Wayans brothers, people always say to me, "How do you? Oh, you're an ass. How do you review movies without seeing them?" And I say, sometimes all the clues are right there for you in the trailer. For instance, the trailer for Dance Flick says, "Brought to you by the people who gave you White Chicks and Little Man," and that's all you need to know. White Chicks and Little Man. That's all you need to know.
That does seem like a pretty good indicator.
Movie. If they're using this as an associative promotion, then you know how it rolls, right?
Sure.
Here's a scene from Dance Flick where a character named Baby Daddy,
Baby Daddy's the character.
Yes. Played by Sean Wayans, stops by to pick up his son from his baby mama at the high school.
What do you want?
You know what I want, Charity. I'm here to pick up my son. Hey, son. All right, I'm out. I'll be back next week to pick him up again.
He's such a good father.
See, he just picks up the kid and then puts the kid down again.
You're going, right?
And she says, he's such a good father.
Wow.
That was funny.
Where's the NAACP, by the way, when you need them? Where are the protesting? Where are the placards and the people out front of theaters with signs saying, this makes African-Americans look bad?
Yeah.
Hey! All right, let's move on, shall we? Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian. You know what? I was just thinking, I wish there was more of that Ben Stiller working in a museum movie. I would like a sequel to that.
You got it.
I didn't think enough things came to life in the last one and ran around and he went, whoa, this is crazy. There wasn't enough of that. So they're giving us another dose.
Wasn't it immensely popular?
It was huge,
right?
Hit.
The first one.
Absolutely.
I liked it.
Like $200 million plus. Yeah, kind of one of those.
There you go, people.
I love
you
too.
There you go, people. There you go. Enjoy. This is for you. This is all for you. Here's Ben Stiller talking to Napoleon, who's come to life. I don't know if you know how this works, but he's a guard at a museum.
Right.
And then things come to life, and no one believes him that they come to life, but they sure do. And there's Napoleon. He's come to life.
So, the little tiny man who could not be a smaller or shorter mouse runs into the claws of the giant cat.
Wow, you're really hung up on the height, aren't you?
No, it's not about height, see.
Yes, you are. You're saying I'm a little mouse, you're a giant cat.
I'm the giant cat.
No offense, I just, you know, your Napoleon was like a complex named after you. You're famous for being little.
In question, it's not about height or something else, it's a plan.
Ah, so it was a plan.
You guys have a good time. At Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian.
Okay, that wasn't a good clip.
Maybe that wasn't the best, most representative
clip.
I'm
sure there were other things.
I'm sure there's other things that come to life, and there's talking statues and dinosaurs, and maybe a...
One could beat Terminator at the box office this weekend, Ralph.
Here's a movie I actually saw this week. It's a documentary about two guys, the Sherman Brothers. Richard and Robert Sherman. Now, you don't know these guys, but you do know their work. If you're a kid, or if you were a kid, or if you have kids, you know these guys. These were the songwriting team for Walt Disney, who did all the music for all the classic Disney films. Mary Poppins, Jungle Book, Winnie the Pooh. If you know a song from a Disney movie, these guys were responsible. Here's a few clips from the trailer.
Our songwriters, Dick and Bob Sherman of the Walt Disney Studio.
Chim, chiminy, chim, chiminy, chim, chim, cheree.
These are the people who wrote every song that every child has grown up with.
Everything in their career has pushed them into being two halves of a whole.
You cannot forget a Sherman Brothers song for your entire life.
This documentary works on a couple levels. It's great because there's a lot of nostalgia. You go back and say, oh, I remember that song. Wasn't that great? But then you realize that these two guys were always pushed out there publicly as these two brothers who were side by side and working together and loving each other, had no relationship with each other whatsoever.
Really? Hated each other?
Not hated each other, but it's weird. You have to almost watch the film to understand how they were such different people and lived their lives so incredibly differently that they acted like they were strangers to each other for most of their adult lives. They would go to movie premieres, and they would make Disney give all the tickets for one family on one side of the theater and the other tickets for the other family on the other side of the theater.
Okay.
The two guys who directed this film are cousins. They're the sons of Richard and Robert Sherman.
Okay.
But they just met in 2001 for the first time, at the premiere of the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang musical that was on Broadway.
Wow.
It was the first time they ever talked to each other. Like, why are do our families not communicate? And so they go back and they interview their fathers now to not only get the history of their working relationship, but try to understand why their family is so dysfunctional, too. It's a fascinating, fascinating documentary.
When they wrote songs, did they one guy write the music and then send it off for lyrics or the other way around, or did they actually sit in a room
They would sit in a room together and fight and argue and gnash of teeth and just be miserable. And then they would pump out this great work, and then as soon as that job was over, they would go separate ways and never talk to each
other. I don't like the title Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I want something else. That's the kind of stuff they argue
And
over.
Don't forget, they also gave us this song.
It's a small world after all.
Oh, yeah.
It's a small world
I remember it starting faster.
It's a small world after all. It's a small world.
Oh, yeah.
You had to do it.
I just want to do that for those folks who were complaining that we made that stick in their head last week.
That is the song that sticks the most out of all in history.
Yes. Yeah. They did some great interviews in here with people like John Landis, the director, and Ben Stiller, and people talking about their work.
Napoleon?
And there's a very funny segment, on It's a Small World and how it makes you crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, if you get a chance, it's in limited release, but if you get a chance to catch this documentary, I really recommend it. If you're a creative person or if you've got a family, I mean, there's a lot of different angles on this that you can appreciate it.
Or if you don't like who you work with.
Hey, I can hear you guys.
I'm just saying.
There's a lot of people who say, imagine the people you work with, right? Now imagine they're your relatives and you have to work together for 40 years. Can you imagine what a hell that would be?
And you don't get paid much.
Right. I mean, yeah. They make like $400 a week working for Disney, cranking out these multi-million dollar songs. They won, their first outing for Disney was Mary Poppins, won 2 Oscars each for that movie.
Wow.
And that's kind of a big bar to set for yourself. So anyway, very fascinating. Check it out. And lastly, Terminator Salvation, another movie I saw. Christian Bale stars as John Connor. The leader of the resistance. Actually, he's not the leader yet at this point in the story. He is a member of the resistance. As we know, he will eventually become the man who beats the machines and saves mankind.
Right.
But at this point, he's sort of a foot soldier in the war. And he is aware of, thanks to the tapes that his mother made for him, as we saw in previous films, exactly how the future is going to unfold. And so he has more inside information. And that often puts him at odds with the leadership of the resistance.
Delay the attack. I have a chance to infiltrate Skynet and rescue those prisoners. Give me that opportunity.
No, absolutely not. This is not the time for a rescue mission.
Skynet has Kyle Reese.
And that is his fate.
No, it's our fate. I have to save him. He is the key. The key to the future, to the past. Without him, we lose everything.
No, you stay the course.
If we stay the course, we are dead. We are all dead.
Kyle Reese, of course, is his best friend who will eventually go back in time to meet his mother and impregnate her with him.
So it's his father.
It's his father. He knows that if Kyle Reese is killed in this attack on Skynet, that he will cease to exist, and so will the chances for the resistance to beat the machines.
Can't wait.
It's a great film in the sense that visually, it's amazing. The special effects and action sequences are great. The script is a little lackluster. There are some major holes in it that you kind of lose touch with some of the characters, I feel. And Christian Bale's performance is pretty much what you just heard all the time. There's a lot of intensity, a lot of anger, not a lot of levels to this performance. But overall, it's a great time at the movies. It suffers, like I said, a little bit, I think, from some of the dialogue, some of the scenes. But really, that's not what you're going to a Terminator movie for.
Yeah.
Excuse me, a Terminator movie for. You want to go for the big budget special effects, and this has plenty of them, including like Transformer Terminators and Water Terminators and Road Terminators. It is the biggest by far of all the Terminator movies.
So fantastic.
Check that out. I might recommend to Christian Bale, maybe it's time for a comedy. maybe a romantic comedy. Maybe another musical. Like Newsies or Swing Kids.
No!
Because I think you've got the intense thing that we get that. After two Batmans and Rescue Dawn and The Machinist and Public Enemies coming out, we understand, yes, you're a very intense fan.
Oh, good for you! And how was it?
Just saying.
Maybe Dance Movie 2 is where you should come out with a comedy.
A few chuckles wouldn't hurt.
I could watch him in this role every day.
Well, then you will enjoy Terminator Salvation.
Yes, I will.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
Memorial Day Friday, Kevin and Bean Show, comedian Bill Burr in a few minutes. First, though, did you guys know that Charm School is back on the VH1? Charm School 3 airs Monday nights at 9, and there's a little bit of a twist this year. They got a guy with a tail co-hosting the program, and our old friend Stryker, formerly the host of Loveline, joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ted, how you been, man? Haven't talked to you in a long time.
I am great. How are you guys doing?
Stryker has a tail!
Tail.
Good. You had to know that was coming, Stryker.
I knew that was coming. I'm excited that it came and that my tail is actually pretty good. I injured it the other day.
What'd you do?
What happened to your tail?
I was at the gym and I was doing sit-ups and I just sat really hard down on the wooden floor without the mat and I bruised it.
Ouch.
Oh.
He actually, those of you that don't know, he's actually talking about a protruding bone. Where'd Mike go?
Mike is leaving because it actually makes him nauseous, this topic.
Right where his tailbone is, it sticks out.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Beans always wanted one. Yeah. Stryker not thrilled with having one.
Well, look, I love Stryker's tail and I wish I had it. I'm not taking anything away from it, but the tail I want is the useful tail, the tail where you can answer the phone and, you know, cut meat with and stuff.
How
like
do you know
that,
he can? Can you cut meat, Stryker, with it?
I've never tried, but maybe let's try it this morning.
All right.
All right. Let's talk about the Charm School, because this is a show where they basically take the skankiest hoes in America.
How dare you?
And they go through some sort of a program where they're trying to turn them into proper young ladies. Do I have it right, Stryker?
Program. I love that. Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it is. Just you're trying to basically take women that are offensive on every level, and you're trying to turn them into something respectable that society can deal with. Do I have that right?
You have it exactly right. And these girls, I mean, the first day I walked in there, and I saw these huge knockers hanging out and hair being pulled within 10 minutes of being on the set.
Really?
Oh, that's the best.
Oh, Kevin, you would appreciate it so much.
They really do identify maybe the bottom of the barrel in society. And then they put them all together in one show.
That's awesome.
And they just scream at each other and yell at each other. And, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Stryker, what is it? Maybe you know, having done this season, but what is it about women where they get so personal and so competitive on site with other women on a game show?
Well, first of all, girls are catty, and
right.
Girls get mad at each other, and girls get mad at each other just because one girl has a better pair of shoes. Now, imagine being on a set where $100,000 is on the line,
right?
And it's just, and plus some of these girls come from crazy backgrounds, and being you hit the nail on the head in the beginning, saying, "Well, how you describe some of them?" And
sure.
Anarchy ensues.
Have you ever seen Rock of Love Bus or any of those shows? They take the worst girls on those, and then they bring them to this show. Here is a bit of an extended clip, but I think you get the idea of what's going on in this program.
Shut the f*** up talking to me.
Uh-oh. Oh, good Lord.
Bubbles, what are you talking to me about?
So you got that.
What?
And then you got this. And then you got this.
Hurry, make the winner. How is that affecting you in any way? What is it doing to you?
And then you got this.
If they decide to send you home, I don't care. I got to say to everybody, to Ricky, to everybody. You know what? Because that is scandalous. For them to be putting you out here on the carpet like that, you ain't even done nothing. That's scandalous.
All right, so you got that. And then you got this.
And I really don't want to hear somebody in her face.
I'm talking.
We know you're talking. You've talked the whole time. You never showed up.
I'm talking.
So that's the group there.
Do you interact with these women?
Oh, I have a lot of interaction with these girls. And, you know, you shoot 10, 12 hours a day and you're around them, but you're not really socializing with them because you can't really do that.
Right.
And so I got to know many of these girls, especially the ones that lasted a long time, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Really. Now, what is your role on the show, Stryker? What do you do? Do you give them the challenges or what?
Yeah, I'm one that Lala and I are the deans on the show. And Lala's the one who is dating Carmelo Anthony from the Nuggets, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, she's a hot former VJ, right, Lala?
Yeah, she is awesome, by the way.
Yeah, I like her.
We got along really well. So we're the deans, and we set up the challenges, and we have a lot of one-on-one interaction with the girls. Not that kind of one-on-one, if you know what
now,
I mean.
God, I hope not. You die.
Now, are you still shooting the show, or are you already finished with it?
We are finished
See,
with it.
See, that angers me, Stryker. You know, you would know I would want to be there.
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
Here's what I love about Charm School, and this is, I guess, the third time around. Charm School 3 on VH1, if you're just joining us, we have one of the hosts of the program, Stryker, on the phone. The first winner of Charm School is in prison. The second winner is a VIP hostess at a Vegas nightclub. That's what she's doing with winning Charm School. So who knows what awaits the winner of season 3. My God.
Well, the next president of the United States.
Possibly. I mean, we're hoping to change that trend this year. And what's amazing is, I mean, as I said, when I first got on there, and I've seen these girls, I watched the shows on VH1, and now to be part of it is so crazy. But all these girls were so out of line the first few days. But the ones that lasted, they really, really changed. I don't know if the winner or the person in second place will end up in the joint. But
wait a minute. You mean they changed for the better?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Well, you take them out and show them the other side. You show them poverty, and you take them to Louisiana to try to help with Katrina victims and stuff like that. So you kind of get their head back in the game, right?
Exactly. And one thing that I had to try to do while doing this, I'm like, are these girls faking this? Are they being real? Are they just cleaning up New Orleans because they want the $100,000? I'm sure some of that's probably yes.
Sure.
But there was definitely some change.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's encouraging.
Some actual, well, not to me. This is now, we don't want change.
Well, it's at the end. Plus, they take out the worst of them, too.
Well, that's not right. Helps. You have an outtake? Yeah. You have an outtake reel, Stryker, that we could watch?
No, I do not. But Kevin, I was going to, if you really like some of these girls, a couple of them dance at the Rhino in Vegas.
So Kevin will see him. He'll meet him anyway, right?
Exactly. You don't even have to watch the show. Just go there and bring $60.
Dear God, this is the best show ever.
Hey, Stryker, you did a season or more as Ellen's sidekick / DJ, Ellen DeGeneres on the TV. And, you know, she has such a calm, peaceful show. It must be so crazy for her to see what you left her for. Like, does she ever call you and go, seriously, Stryker, what are you doing?
Honestly, even when I was on the show, she never called.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So she's not spending much time worrying about what Stryker's up to, I guess.
I don't think so, Bean.
Charm School 3 is awesome. It airs Monday nights at 9 on VH1. You are a good dude, Stryker. We don't get a chance to talk to you very often on the show, but you're always welcome, man. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you guys for having me. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, man.
Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, see, Mike, it's a tailbone, and then it just kind of keeps on going. The skin just protrudes right out of Stryker's back, and he actually has a tail. That's what goes on there.
That makes Mike throw up, by the way.
He really ran
out of the studio during that last conversation.
He can't hang with tails. Hey, what about funny man Bill Burr in the studio with us?
Hey, Kevin and Bean what's show? Going on, everybody?
He is going to be appearing at the Hollywood Improv, and that is going to be tonight and tomorrow night at improv.com. Bill, how are you, man? What's going on?
I'm doing great. I was listening to you guys talking about the reality show Whores.
Yes.
And,
they should just name it that, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
They should.
Just reality show Whores.
I did a gig one time in Houston, and I was standing on stage talking about that show Mama's Boy.
Sure.
And I was going, you know, it's a typical show. You know, they take 20 whores, they put them in a house, and somebody tries to find a wife. And after the show, one of the contestants from the show was in the crowd. And she kept going like, you know, you call this whores, but that's okay. She kept going, but that's okay, like I was apologizing. And I wasn't. And then she just go, you know, they have a lot of alcohol on the set. They made us do a lot of things that we didn't want to do and all this type of stuff. I'm like, yeah, but you did it. Because they were paying you, yeah. Which
and
makes you,
you
a whore.
Right.
There you go. So,
even more of one if you don't want to do it.
Yeah. My favorite quote I heard from one of those shows, there was some girl, they were talking about racism. Somebody made a racist comment. So this girl, the other whore, was trying to educate the other whore. And she goes, you can't say that. That's like when Hitler was walking around talking about certain stuff about what he was saying. That was literally the... I don't know why. She's like three times. Like, what? It's good right up until that's like when Hitler was talking about certain stuff. I was with her.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Certain stuff about what he was saying.
And that didn't really bring it home?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
No, it actually cleared up my World War II. I was always like, I wondered why that happened. Evidently, it's because Hitler was talking about certain stuff about what he was saying.
That's true.
Sure.
That is true.
Well, what's remarkable about Charm School and any number of other programs that are on the air, and Bill, you probably are very familiar with this, is that people don't care what they look like when they're on television. They just want to be on television. They don't care if it's flattering. They don't care if people like them. They just want to be famous, I guess.
I think they look good.
You do?
You want to know how bad this economy is? I was driving down the street. You know when they have those people flipping those signs around?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I saw a pregnant woman. I swear to God.
Really?
Flipping the hell out of the sign.
Really? So you can do it?
Yeah, and I was trying to make a little YouTube video. And then I go, I feel bad. That's somebody's mom. Just standing
but
on the
not
street.
Yet. It's dude, not someone's mom yet.
Breathing in fumes. Yeah, I know. That's true. I like that. The technicality. She's not a mom yet.
Right.
Who knows?
Technically.
Yeah. That's right.
As far as we know.
Yeah, she could do a face plant, and then that would be it. I'm saying he went there. What was I supposed to do? I just went with him.
I suspect that you, because of the kind of comedy you do, you've had your fair share of hate letters and complaints and people who have bitched you out for things that you say on stage. Does that happen to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That'll be a great book someday. Mm-hmm. I've had...
Do you keep them? You keep the letters and the emails and stuff?
The Goldberg Complaint Department letters?
Yeah. I love them. I had a guy one time, the first time I did a special, so this guy sent me an email. He said, hey, Bill, where did Comedy Central get all that footage of an audience laughing as if they were watching a comedian? I wish I was. Don't quit your day job. So
wow.
That's pretty good.
It was pretty good.
Actually.
But you know what? My special aired on February 14th, so I was able to pretty much, you know, say, well, so basically that means at 10:30 on Valentine's Day, you were home alone watching Comedy Central.
Right.
Who's the loser in this?
Yeah, did you at least, I can't say what I said.
Right.
But involve self-pleasure.
Sure.
Continued success at Applebee's. And then, then I kept kind of going back and forth with them, and then my girlfriend at the time reminded me of, you know, you do have your whole road schedule out there if anybody wanted to do something. So I kind of let it go. I said, all right, dude, whatever, you win. I got to go fly to go do a gig. And he goes, well, great. All I can say is I hope your plane crashes.
Nice.
Like, that's the level.
Wow.
Nice.
By the way, I also suspect, Bill, that every woman that you reference in your past is always my girlfriend at the time. Because
yeah, I got a lot.
There are probably a lot of them. They don't last long.
You know what? I used to do a bit about how... You could really sit there and, you know, in the beginning of dating and be like, women are psychos and blah, 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 blah. But once you're on, like, you're in your 15th relationship, you got to be like, all right, maybe it's me. You know, maybe I got some issues, but I'm in a great one right now. You know,
you are.
Yeah, my girl lives with me. We just got a dog, and which was a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a rescue, which is something I never wanted to do.
Okay.
I wanted to get a puppy. This is more hate mail I got when I did this. Presented this idea.
Well, most
say.
Of the time people say you should not get a puppy. You should rescue. That's the right.
Well, I don't understand.
Politically correct.
Yeah, like those puppies don't need to be rescued. I mean, I don't know if you've been to a pet store, but everyone wants to play with the smallest, cutest puppy.
Right.
So those
right.
puppies are only cute so long until they're kind of like the old stripper, you know, hanging out at the club, still trying to play with the toy. I'm still kind of cute. Still a little frisky, right? But I didn't want to go down to the shelter. My girl was like, why not? I go, because I think a lot of those dogs down the shelter might be a little messed up in the head. You know what I mean? Like that Sarah McLaughlin commercial, they show all the cute fuzzy ones that want to play frisbee,
right?
You
right.
know, and lay there and gaze. But there's no Rottweilers. There's no pit bulls. Where are all those hellhounds that you find down there? And they're not there. So
they're foaming at the mouth.
Yeah, but my karma came back to get me because my girl picked up one when I was on the road, and it's actually a blue-nosed pit bull.
Is that right?
Yeah. And this was her deal. She stayed with it for 2 days, and I was flying back on a Monday, and she goes, okay, I'm just going to go to work, and I'll just leave the dog, and you can just come home and meet it. And I'm like, the hell I am. That dog has been living with you for 2 days. He already has bonded with you. I'm going to come walking in like a stranger. You're taking that dog to work. Leave it in the car. It was a covered garage for all you animal lovers. And I said, and then when you drive home, call me, and I will come downstairs and meet you and that hellhound in the driveway, and we will all walk in together, which we did, and it was still awkward. The dog was kind of looking at me like, dude, what's up with you? And I'm like, what's up with you? I got pictures on the mantle. I don't see any of you. All right?
You're here for
a week, but no, I come off like a jerk, but I definitely, you know, I'm an animal lover. No, so
right.
Within two days, oh, I love this dog.
Yeah.
It's the greatest dog ever. And I actually like, you walk down the street, I actually like that people are afraid of it. People cross the street. It's awesome. I can't describe it. It's like having a gun that you can pet. You know, people just respect you. You know, they go, you know, I can't fight. You know, now I got this. It's like, I feel
like
a little nerd.
I got a friend with two pit bulls, and they're the sweetest dogs in the whole wide world. And she loves it, too, because she goes everywhere and leaves her windows down in her car. She never locks it. She leaves her keys in her car. She's like, no one is ever going to touch my car because I got two pit bulls hanging out in it waiting for me, you know? And they would just lick anyone who walked up to the thing, but people don't know. It's very funny.
Well,
we got to take a quick break, Bill. Please stand by. Bill Burr is here. Very funny. You've seen him on The Letterman. You've seen his comedy specials. He used to work on the Dave Chappelle Show, which I'm fascinated with as well.
Yes,
and he is in town for a couple of big shows at the Hollywood Improv. That is going to be tonight and tomorrow night down on Melrose Avenue. A great room. Improv.com or call 323-651-2583. Bill is also an enormous hockey fan, something else we have in common. So we'll talk about all that when we return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show, and all weekend long, starting, I believe, this afternoon, or maybe at noon today, it's Y2K Rock. All Memorial Day weekend long, we are counting down the biggest songs of this century. We're going all the way back to 2000.
Wow.
That's astonishing. I don't know. The restoration alone on getting those records in a playable condition is going to be a miracle. But we'll give that a try starting, we're guessing at noon today. It's 8:42. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show Friday morning. Comedian Bill Burr is in our studio and in town at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose. It's going to be tonight and tomorrow night. Bill, we mentioned briefly before the break that you used to work on the Chappelle Show, which, by the way, they still run at the same frequency on Comedy Central that they ran when the show was current.
Yeah, and I can watch.
I've never taken a break on that show.
And I never need a break from it either. That's one of the best shows in history, I think.
Yeah, it was unreal. I don't know, especially now that all the years have gone by. Believe it or not, it's been like 4 or 5 years, I think, since at least I take the last one that I did. And I don't know, just people still love that show so much, they still come up to me, they're like, is it coming back?
Really?
It's like, dude, it's been off the air for 4.5 years, you know? I don't know, is MASH coming back, you know?
But, why do you have such fond memories about it? Just because you guys created such funny comedy, or is that you were working with a lot of friends?
I was a very, very small part of it. I only did 5 sketches. I was just lucky enough to be in 5 bigger ones, but I think it was just fun to kind of be, you know, the small part that I had to be, like, the closest thing, I guess, Beatlemania. It was ridiculous. Like, I remember they would do stuff on set. You'd hear Dave do something or whatever, and it seemed so small. You know what I mean? You're just in this little room. And then I was doing stand-up at Bonnaroo. And I remember I was this big music festival in Tennessee, and the lights went down. And I was going to watch this band, and all of a sudden I heard somebody yell out, "What?" And someone's like, "Okay," and someone else yells out, "Yeah!" I literally got like chills. Like it was unbelievable. And I also still think, like, you know, to this day, I think that Rick James sketch is still my favorite one. And I just think I don't know how you get funnier than that.
Yeah, like, I agree. Is it possible Chappelle was in the audience that day at Bonnaroo?
No, I don't think so. Unless he could run all around the arena.
Okay.
We were just talking to somebody the other day. I don't remember who, about how Dave Chappelle is one of the few guys in show business who was able to walk away and stay away. What is he doing now?
Yeah, he's kind of like the Marvin Hagler of boxing reference. Nobody.
No, we got it. He just vanished.
No, he's out. Yeah, he's out doing. He's doing stand-up tours. He's doing, you know, bigger 10,000-seaters and that type of thing. You just put his name up, and everybody comes and shows up. And I think, you'd have to ask him why he left the show. But if I had to guess, I think, you know, shows become big hits, and then everybody wants to kind of get their stink on it, so they start trying to rub up against it and make suggestions, and then it stops being
watered down.
Yeah, I don't know. Watered down. I don't know what happened. You know what I mean?
But yeah, I see.
All right, now I'm going into sad tone. Yeah, and now it's not on anymore.
He's not dead.
We
don't want that.
And
he's not
I miss
dead.
It.
Yeah. He's not
no,
dead.
He isn't.
Okay.
He isn't. I ran into him a couple times up at the punchline. He's fine.
Very much alive.
Good.
Very much alive.
Okay.
Not
all
crazy.
Right.
Not on drugs. All
healthy.
This stuff, bunch of crap.
All right, good.
Before we talk about hockey, I have one question I'm dying to ask, because I was watching some of your YouTube videos. And by the way, Bill Burr, B-U-R-R, tons of great videos up on YouTube, which means you're probably not getting paid for somebody ripping off your work and enjoying it, right? I think.
Yeah. No, not at all.
The beauty of YouTube.
So thanks for promoting that.
But sometimes you're super bald, and sometimes you've got just bad hair. What's going on with you? Why are you can grow hair, you can't grow hair, you had chemo. What's the deal? Why can't I keep up with your hairline?
Well, I'm doing a movie right now, so they wanted me to have more hair. But, yeah, I'm starting to lose my hair, so I shaved it.
So you shaved it, and you thought that somehow looked good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Well, what am I supposed to do? Well, you know what? You look. You know something? You're not exactly looking too good yourself.
You are correct.
He's in Slapshot over there. Good Lord. This was like a nice interview, and then all of a sudden he just comes flying at me.
Right till that moment.
I just tried to figure out the hair. It troubled me very much yesterday because I couldn't figure out what was going on. But that makes sense. If you're shaving it for movies or whatever, growing it for movies, I totally get it because you're a performer.
I try to be.
Wow.
I'm basically a comedian. I act when they let me.
I got you. All right, let's talk about the hockey.
Now, you used to blog about Boston, right?
Yes, I did. I was blogging for the Bruins the entire playoffs.
And then that ended.
Yeah. We lost to the Carolina Hurricanes.
I don't mean to mock you. My team wasn't even in it, so I didn't even get as far as you did.
Oh, were you the Kings?
Kings, yeah.
Yeah, no, I was a big Bruins fan. I just blogged. I figured everybody on the internet was going to break down the game, so all I did was I was kind of like the loud guy in the upper deck. If he could type, and I just tried to pick. Like when we played Carolina, I refused to call them the Hurricanes. I just kept calling them the Whalers.
Good.
And suggested that the people in Carolina didn't have shoes. And They lost the Civil War. I went like that. I just tried to annoy as many people as I possibly could.
I like your thing on the losing in overtime in a Game 7 in hockey and how it's just more sudden than any other sport in existence. It's
like,
brutal.
Like last night, like the Lakers, you know what I mean? When they lost the game, you kind of knew, even though it was like 30 seconds left, you knew they lost, but that last 30 seconds takes about 5 minutes to play in the NBA. So you have time to get ready. Even a walk-off home run, you got the whole call. It is far, it is deep, and it is, you know. But hockey, it's just like, you got the puck, everything's going great, and then bam, it's just over.
2 seconds later, they can score and you're out.
Yeah.
That's rough.
And the other thing, and I know Kevin Smith, who's a huge Devils fan, you know, he blogs about his team and everything. I mean, he lost in a Game 7, I think, in one of the rounds of the playoffs, too, because they gave up 2 goals in the third period. And there's nothing to prepare you for that because you think, hey, we're 2 up. We've got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he's a Devils fan. Yeah, they were
Devils,
up by,
right, yeah.
They were up by 2 goals, I think, with like you know, a minute and a half
A minute
left.
20 left. Yes.
Now, at that point, you've prepared yourself to win, not lose.
Yes, exactly.
I'm sorry, 1 goal. They're up by 1 goal.
1 goal, okay.
Or maybe they lost in overtime. I can't remember. But all I know is they scored 2 goals in like the last minute and a half. And I was all excited going, great, the Devils are out of it. This is increasing our chances. Then the Hurricanes came along and beat us. When, was it Walker scored that goal? And then he did the little jazz hands thing when he went up the ice. The guy was sucker punched.
So with your team out, do you care who wins? Do you root for somebody else now? Or it doesn't matter to you at this point?
I think I'm rooting for the Blackhawks just because their original six team. I'm sick of watching the Russian national team out of Detroit win.
Yeah,
and
they're pretty much all Russians.
Yeah,
and superstars.
Don't like the Hurricanes because they beat us, and the Penguins. I don't mind, but I don't like the Steelers. You know,
and you're going to let the stink of the Steelers go to the Penguins?
You know why? Because we were 11-5, the Patriots, and we didn't make the playoffs, and then it's like the Steelers win a championship by beating the 8-8 Chargers, the rookie quarterback Ravens, and then they played the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
The last two Super Bowls, they played the Seahawks and then the Cardinals. I think they're going to play the Saints for the trilogy next year.
Lisa, you see how complicated it is to be a sports fan.
I do. It looks too hard to me.
It's a lot of work. Yeah.
Sometimes it's complex to figure out who you're going to vote for, who you're going to root
for
when your team's out of it. So,
yeah.
All right. Big show tonight, Friday night at the Improv on Melrose, and then, of course, tomorrow night. How often do you play around town, Bill? You do a lot of gigs here?
Yeah, I sort of pop in. I don't really hype them on my website because a lot of times it's me trying out new material, so there's a lot of bombing. Not tonight, but those other shows, a lot of looking down at all-weather carpet just going, yeah, so what else is going on? hey, sir, what do you do for a living as I try to think of the next unfunny idea.
But, wow.
Yeah, I work out a lot at the Comedy Store, Laugh Factory.
Oh, cool. Great.
Comedy Union is another place I work out at, and I'll be at the Improv this weekend.
And this is a finished show. This is jokes that are guaranteed to kill. That's what we're getting tonight if we pay our money.
Yeah, this is all the A material.
Okay.
Unless you guys aren't laughing, and then I'll snap, and it'll get ugly.
Improv.com or call 323-651-2583. Have a great time out there, Bill. Have a great weekend. Thanks for stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, cool.
All right, it is 8:55 now, and time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Wow, I just peeled out into that Showbiz Beat.
It sounded like it.
It's awesome. Hey, had that more often. First, before I get to the showbiz news, I do want to apologize to the Sherman Brothers and the good people at Walt Disney. I never said the name of the documentary that features their story. It is called The Boys. And a bunch of emails I got from other listeners, too, saying, I'd love to go see that movie, but you never told me what the name of it was. So how can I find it? It is called The Boys, : The Sherman Brothers Story. So if
the
you're
boys,
looking,
colon?
The Boys, colon? No.
Oh.
The Boys, : The Sherman Brothers Story.
Okay.
So there you can find it on your movie phone if you want to punch that in and see where it's playing in your neighborhood. Again, I recommend it highly, but it is called The Boys. My bad, I accept your scoring. All right, let's move forward, shall we? Clay Aiken speaking out against American Idol.
Is he?
What?
Yeah, you know, you're not a true a-hole until you start attacking the things that made you famous. He says, regarding Adam Lambert, who was the front runner for most of this season, he only heard him sing once.
What's he talking about?
Apparently he wasn't watching the show this year.
Well, okay.
Shut up.
So what's he got to say?
He said he heard him sing Ring of Fire, the Johnny Cash song.
Yeah.
And I thought my ears would bleed, he said.
Really?
Then Clay Aiken went to say, American Idol was better back in my day. Sure, way back then. In the 50s, when you were first on an American Idol.
What the hell?
The show was different then, Lisa. The folks that made it into seasons 1 through 3 were there because they were real people who happened to sing and entertain well. But somewhere along the way, AI stopped being about real people.
What?
So who cares if you don't like every single contestant on the show?
No, they're not real.
There's something wrong with that child. You just don't say things like that.
Clay knows real.
That is odd.
Remember when he denied being gay? Remember when he was being real back then?
Sure.
And then when he was caught stripping for some Marine on the internet, and then he denied that?
Both of those.
He knows about being real.
Yes, he does.
I'm a little surprised that he did not support Adam Lambert, if you catch my meaning.
Yeah, me too, actually.
That's what I was expecting the story to be, was his complaining that he didn't win.
There's only room for one gay idol in this town, mister.
Maybe that's
what met me.
That's what it is.
Showdown at the makeup counter at Macy's. The battle for guyliner.
At the O-Gay Corral.
What?
Kevin! Kevin said
Kevin.
That. That just right. happened.
Kevin! Right, it must be a holiday.
All right, I'll take it back.
No!
Oh, it was good. It was good. Right. It was good. Okay, good. Right, I'm in. I'm just used to being beat down.
Kevin's like the dog.
So
like, just beaten all the time. And even when you go to pet it now, it flinches and tail down, sad. Runs to the corner.
It could have been tighter. Could have been, but
that's
all right. Sorry, let's move on.
Spencer Pratt.
Yeah.
Is now, you know, now that he's a success. Now that he's a successful rapper.
Sure.
Says regarding Twitter, I would say Diddy is the most interesting Twitterer.
Really?
I definitely will follow the hip-hop circle now that I have infiltrated the game. Just so that I can be aware of my rivals and what my competitors are doing. He said that with a straight face.
He has to sit down and say, what is the most inflammatory thing I could say? He has to.
Yeah.
Must. He can't mean it.
He can't come up with that just... I mean, nobody's that bad, are they?
I'm not really interested in anybody. That's why I started rapping. But I'm still a fan of Tupac. That's the only rapper I still like.
Okay.
Well, we hope that you end up just like Tupac. That's what we hope for you, Spencer. We hope that you emulate your hero all the way. Go for it.
Do it. This weekend.
Go to Vegas this weekend if that's what's necessary.
Do it.
And, you know, here at Kevin and Bean and in K-Rock in general, we're not too proud to take a few pokes at our own.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And I think this definitely needs poking.
Yeah.
I think Nicole Alvarez, definitely needs poking. Our, one of our favorite jocks here on the station, she needs a poke.
Okay.
Yeah.
The story has hit the internet. I'm not just picking on her because it's already being covered elsewhere, so I thought it only appropriate that we deal with it as well. There's a story on the internet talking about the fact that cover boys Kings of Leon from Rolling Stone magazine were recently interviewed at K-Rock's Weenie Roast concert. By an openly drunk representative for the radio station. The story
sounds
reads.
Pretty outrageous.
Yeah. Apparently the interview got a bit awkward.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of you actually caught Nicole talking to Kings of Leon, but here's a few tastes.
I'm hammered, by the way, you guys. I didn't mean to be right now, but for some reason I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Nicole how it started,
had
by
a
the way.
Few cocktails at the Weenie
Is
Rose.
That the reason? Oh, because yeah. I didn't know
you
why.
You were unclear on hammered?
How
and she was talking to the band, and I think was trying to say that she had been a longtime fan.
Yes.
And appreciated their earlier work in a different way than this recent album, which has sort of put them on the map in terms of mainstream acceptance.
That's what she was trying to
say. I think she was trying to say something along those lines.
Right.
Filtered through tequila, it came out thusly.
I love you guys no matter what. Like, this album's really good, but before that, like, you guys are great. So I wish that people don't judge you by this album, because before you were great. Yeah, this album's just different, but before, it was amazing, too. Oh. So I wish you continued success. I'm Nicole Alvarez. This is the world-famous K-Rock.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hope people don't judge you by the album you have out now.
I love you guys no matter what. Even if you put out crap like this, I will still be a fan, is what she's saying.
And we know her. She's not the kind of person who would say that on purpose.
Before, you were great.
But, yeah.
But there's this album, but I still love you, even though you put this crap out.
If you're willing to settle for this and make this be representative of where you're at now.
People don't judge you by this, because in reality, we all know you're much better than this.
Yeah, I don't think that came out right.
With this.
Right.
And this.
That's a wee bit awkward, right?
Right after the interview, this happened.
Oh!
A little cat came out and started playing a keyboard, and
that was it.
Nicole was put on a stretcher and taken back to the medevac unit, where they gave her a blood transplant.
With
a yak
transfusion?
No, a transplant. Okay. They took all her blood out and they put a yak blood in.
All right.
That isn't good for you.
It's not good for you. but her coat is very shiny now. Got that going for
her. She didn't mean it that way. I don't think.
I know.
All right.
Look, I know what it's like to not mean what you're saying when you're interviewing someone or talking live on the radio. I certainly know.
We've all been there.
We have all been there. However, not over such a sustained period of time. I don't think. Usually it's more like sun flares, less like a nova. If you know what I'm saying.
Kevin talking to that attorney in Vegas would be the only thing we could
do. That's true. They were similar situations, and both of them were alcohol-related injuries. But, that was good times.
Okay. How dare you?
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Once again, pronunciation comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting angry emails from Morrissey fans.
Right.
That I've been saying happy birthday to Morrissey.
Oh, well, you're from Philadelphia. They need to understand it.
So,
Philadelphians are retarded.
I apologize. These are very particular people.
Yeah.
The Morrissey fans. So for all you Morrissey fans out there, it is his birthday. He celebrates his 50th birthday. Happy birthday, Morrissey. Dan Roberts of Crash Test Dummies. He was the bassist for that band. 42 years old today. Supermodel Naomi Campbell celebrates her 39th. Jennifer Goodwin.
Woo!
Yeah. She is adorable on that Big Love. Mm-hmm. If I had four wives, she's the one I'd keep.
Really? Out of four?
Yeah. I'd kick that Jeannie Triplehorn right to the curb. What's going on with her?
Oh, she's 70.
Yeah.
Oh, 70. Oh, murder button. Oh, I got a story about a guy who's invented the murder button. We don't have time. We'll have to wait for next
week.
Oh,
you're kidding.
Yeah. A real
sounds
murder
like a
button?
Breakthrough.
Yeah, it's a real... The Germans, by the way, won't give this guy a patent on his invention because they think it's too vicious.
The Germans are saying no.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a Saudi inventor who has invented how to kill by button, how to murder by button. So maybe we'll have to cover that next week.
All right.
Maybe we'll talk to him.
Yeah.
If he's got a cat that tweets.
do very many good things come out of Germany?
You know, the Germans, they make good things.
They do.
That's what I understand.
I hear that's true.
Where am I? I'm saying goodbye.
Yes.
Have a great Memorial Day weekend, everyone. I love you deeply. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Time for the weekend, people.
3 days.
I'd like to hear Nicole Alvarez sing along a little bit, too, if that's possible. She's there.
You used to be great.
Yes, sure.
Had to think about that one, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
I think it went well. I think it was good.
There weren't any laughs.
No, that was a tough audience.
So, say peace.
Peace.
Love.
Laugh.
And soul.
Normally I don't condone leaving early, but I have an appointment with the horse doctor. How that horse became a doctor, I don't know.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
Hey, guys.
No, you're done.